Okay, Ramban, Parshas Matos Maseis. So the Parsha of Matos begins with the Parsha of Nedarim. And it says, Vayadaber Moshe el Roshei HaMatos. Moshe spoke to the Roshei HaMatos. It doesn't say he spoke to the whole B'nai Yisrael. It says he spoke to the Roshei HaMatos, L'Bnei Yisrael. So Rashi says it means he spoke, Moshe gave kavod to Nesim to speak to them first and then to B'nai Yisrael. So the Ramban says it was said to Roshei HaMatos, because this is the parsha of Heter Nedarim. So not everybody needs to know about the Heter. In fact, he says, maybe it's better not to publicize it so much, so that people shouldn't be knowing Kalas Rosh ben Nedarim. Tell them everything, you could just get out of it in a second, they don't take it seriously. So the fact that the husband and the father, it could be made for Nedarim, that was said to the Rosh Matos and not said to everybody. It's very fascinating. Furthermore, he says, a more just a simple thing, is that the Roshei HaMatos are the people who are made for Nedarim in general. That's the guy who's the head of the Shevet, is, you know, the Gadol, the Mumcha. A Yachid Mumcha could be marked in Nedarim, so it was said to the leaders. And the Ramban says, just generally speaking, like we were saying before, Heter Nedarim, we don't publicize, and you won't find it in the Torah. It's not Mefurish in the Torah, Heter Nedarim. They could go to, you know, the Torah talks about the father and the husband. It's not mafurish that you go to a rabbi and he's matir neder for you. So he says because, you know, for the same reason he said, you don't want people to be knowing kalas rosh ben adarim. So it is halacha moshe misinai. It's certainly daraisa, heter nedarim, but it's not said mafurish again, so that there shouldn't be too much of a, people shouldn't take nedarim lightly. And just generally discussing Hilchos Nedarim, the Ramban mentions that there's a difference between Shvuos and Nedarim, and the Neder goes famously on the Chafta, and the Shvuah goes on the Gavra. So when you make a Neder, you're asering something on you, like Hektish. And the Ramban here says a Chiddush, that we know you can't make a Shvuah on an Asay, to not do an assay. So if the Torah says, eat matzah, you can't make a shvuah, I'm not going to eat matzah because you're mushbev omed mehar Sinai. But you can make a neder. So you can make a neder that this matzah is asr on me, then you can't eat the matzah. That does work. Neders are chal on assays. And then here's the chiddush part. He says that they're also chal on los assays. So if you have a piece of treif here, and you say you're making a neder that this treif is asr on you, and then you eat it, you are over two lavs. Not everybody agrees to that at all. That's a machlokas rishonim. That's the Ramban's opinion. That you can aser something that's already aser on yourself, on you, with a neder. Okay, then we have another. This is very interesting. In Pasuk Vav, it says, V'imhini avio sa b'yom shamav, the father is going to be made for her neder when he hears about it. Kol nederev asera, Asher Asral Nafshala Yakumsa, on the day he hears of it, he's mefir it, so then it goes away. And Vahashem, so anything she made an Isra on herself, that Isra goes away. Vahashem Yislachla Ki Heini Avia Osa. And Hashem will forgive her Ki Heini Avia Osa. So Pashup Shat, that means because the father was made for her nether, so then she won't get any Avera for what she did. For what she did, yeah. So the Ramban here says something really cool. By a father, when a father is made for a neder, like when you do hataras nedarim means that the neder was never a neder, right? You're okirat lemafreya. That's like when you make a neder, and you go to the chacham and he finds you a pesach for your neder. So then the neder is uprooted meikara. It's like you never made the neder, and it never happened. But when, the father is made for Nedarim, it's Megiz Gaiz. So it only is Chal from the time the father says no. The same for husband. So the Ramban understands not Ki Heinea Osa because her father was made for Nedar, but whether Ki meaning when. Hashem Yislach La Ki Heinea Vi Osa means Hashem will forgive her when the father is mefer, meaning from that time on, not before. Because the father and the husband, when they're mefer the nether, it's only from now on, but all the time till now, she would be, her nether would be in effect. Just generally, there is, you know, the husband can only be mefir, it says, inui nefesh, which is if she asters all fruit of the world on her, or dvar mishbeino levina, things between her and her husband. Even if they're not inui nefesh, like that she's not going to wear makeup or she's not going to be with her husband. So that's inui nefesh. It could be this is mefirish in Gemara and I just don't know. The Ramban says the same halach as by the father too. I imagine this is mefirish, just I happen to not know it. I read it here. That the same thing is true with the father, that there's a concept called between the father and the daughter. Things, you know, the father can't be made for everything either. Only things between that affect the relationship between him and his daughter. Okay, I didn't know that. Actually, I see now the Ramban says it's a Yerushalmi and a Dharam. Okay. Okay, then we have the war against the Midianites. And it says that Moshe did not send everybody. It says, V'yishlach haso Moshe elef lamateh. 1,000 per tribe, which means a total of 12,000, which was nowhere near the whole Jewish army. So why so few? So the Ramban says, because, I mean, even though Midian was a huge army, and they had strong defenses and fortified cities, but a lot of people sinned with Benos Midian, and they were not really to be in this war. So he had to get the tzaddikim only. Okay, then later we have, after the war, it says, V'atem chanu michutz ha-machaneh shivas yomim kal horig nefesh chol nanegeya b'chalal tizchatu b'yom ha-shvi. So we have that your tummy mace, anyone who was horig nefesh or nogeya b'chalal. So Rashi says this comes to include chiburi ha-mace, that if you touched a kli while it was touching the dead guy, so then your tummy tuma shiva. So Ramban says, I'm not really sure what he's talking about. If you're talking about something metal, so then even if it's not still touching the dead guy, and it makes you tummy, even when in that case, the sword would be like a dead person, and the person touches that, even when it's not touching the dead guy, it would be tummy, tuma shiva. And if it's something else, so then it would just be, let's say it's some other kli, that could be makabel tumah, so it would be the dead guy's aviyavosa tumah, the thing you killed him with is an avatoma, so that makes you a rishon and you're a not tummy shiva. So, and if it's because of this, what it sounds like, Rashi's saying, tumas chiburin is derabanan, meaning just because it's attached at the exact same moment, that din is a din derabanan. So the Ramban says, no, he doesn't agree with any of that. That's not what he's talking about. Rather, what it means is, meaning that which Rashi quoted there from Meir, what it means is tumas masa. That if you had a spear, let's say it wasn't a metal spear, and you speared someone, and then you carried them with the spear, so then you would be tamei tumas shiva, because of tumas masa. Okay, then we have the parsha of Hechsher Kelim. And it says that things that need to be kashered should be kashered. As it says, called the varshei of avayish tavir veish v'taher v'chol asher loy of avayish tavir b'mayim. So Rashi says, what does it mean tavir b'mayim? Stuff that you didn't use hot, right? Like, this is regular hechsher kelim. If you have a pot on your stove and use it with treif, so it depends how you cooked and what were you cooking. If you cooked meat straight on it, then that's libun. If you we cooked it with liquids and then hagala. And if there's no heat involved, so then it needs tavir b'mayim. What does that mean, tavir b'mayim? Rashi says, you tovel it. So the Ramban says, no, that's not what it means. If you're talking about tefilas kelim, that we already said, ach b'mayim nida yitzchata. So what does tavir b'mayim mean? The Ramban says, it means the same thing as tavir b'esh. If you have something that was used with heat, so you have to put it, tavir means pass it through esh, means to kasher it. So something that was not used through heat, just colds, needs to be kashered with water. How do you kasher it with water? It wasn't heated. What do you need kashering for? Because there's gook, you have to clean it. You know, you have to heat it up, but that's kashering it when it's cold. If somebody used cold treif in your pot, there was no heat whatsoever, but you gotta clean it, you gotta wash it off, scrape it, you know, get the stuff off. So that's what it means, ta'abiru b'mayim, kashra with water, in the sense of clean it. That's what the Rabban says. Then the Rabban just ends off that he thinks probably the whole concept of tefillas kelim, not talking the kashra, tefillas kelim, meaning when you buy a kli from a nachri, that it needs tefila, it's all the Rabban. And yes, there's this pasuk, b'meinidah yishchata, it's an asmachta, it's talking about really paraduma stuff, mixed with water, but he thinks that tefillas kelim is really a din d'rabbanan, even by metal. If it's a din d'rabbanan, what's special about metal? So he gives an explanation why he thinks the Rabbanan would have said it only by metal. But he holds that, sounds like he holds it's d'rabbanan. And the reason why we have to come up with hechsher kelim, not the kasher the kelim, because this is not their first war, you know, this is not the first time they got booty from a war, so why only when they conquered Midian they have to kasher the kelim? What happened when they conquered Sichon and Og? So the Ramban says, because they didn't have to kasher those. Because anything they conquered, part of conquering Eretz Yisrael, they were allowed to eat, even if it was treif. I mean, Varma, he says, quotes the Gemara in Chulin, Kedili de Chaziri Istri Lahu. So whatever, I mean, even treif, when they were conquering Eretz Yisrael, whatever booty they found, even treif, they were allowed to eat, so they didn't have to kasher the kelim, because conquering Sichem and Og was part, ended up being anyway, part of Eretz Yisrael, you know, for the 2.5 shvatim, to an extent it counted like Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, it was part of their nachla anyway, so therefore that was mutter to them, they didn't have to kasher them. And as far as Tumah, he says, in Melechem and Sichem and Og, it was all of Klai Yisrael at war. So if they're all Tamei, so nobody has to get out, because Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, but here only a few people went to war, so that's why they had to stay away. So they had to tell them to stay away. Okay, then we have, later on, Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi, Shevet, Menashe, as we'll discuss more than Chatzi, but anyway, Reuven, Gad, and all they came originally, to say that they had a lot of livestock, and they wanted to live on the other side of the Jordan River, and they said, I'll read you the pasuk because it's important. Lo nashuv el batenu ad hisnachal bnei Yisrael ish nachlaso. We'll go fight the wars. Don't worry, Moshe. We're not trying to cop out. Kilo ninchalitam. Maybe layardin mahala. We won't get inheritance with them. Maybe layardin ki ba nachlasenu aleinu, because our nachla has come to us. Maybe hayardin mizracha, on the other side of the yardin. So they're coming to ask Moshe permission to keep this as a nachla. And the way they do that is by saying, we already got it. We got our nachla, Moshe, even though Moshe had not given it to them. They came over and said, Moshe, look, this is where we're going to be, see? I mean, it sounds a little chutzpah, it sounds like they're informing him how it's going to be. We already got our nachla here, so we're good. And we won't be nochel over there. Anyway, the Ramban says that they weren't trying to be disrespectful at all. They were asking. They were saying, do not give us any nachla on the other side of the Yarden, which will make other people's portions smaller if we get our nachla in Eretz Yisrael. Don't give us any nachla in Eretz Yisrael proper, because the nachla that's good for us already came to us because we have a lot of cattle and we need this kind of land. Okay, now, as I just mentioned a second ago, it was originally Gad and Reuven, and that's it. And nobody else was there. And nobody else wanted to be there. But the problem was, it was too big of a land. And like we say later, that Hashem didn't want to give the marriage so fast, because Rab Aleim Chayas Asada, you can't, at least in those days, can't take over a large property without enough people to inhabit it. Because then you have the wild animals coming. If they don't feel city is right, the animals naturally run away from a city, but they don't run away from just one house. So you need to make it feel populated so that the animals don't come, and also to prevent invaders, because if you're all too spread out, they can just take over. So if you're going to take over a big area, you need more people. So Reuven and Gad went recruiting. That's what it sounds like. They asked, does anybody want to join us? Because we need more people. And so parts of Shevet Menashe said, okay, we'll do it. And he says maybe they had a lot of cattle too. Now it says it was Chetzi Shevet Menashe. The numbers actually were one tenth on outside of Israel, like in Eretz Habashan, outside of Israel proper, and 9/10 in Israel. I don't remember if I said that correctly before, but that's what it is. Most did not go into Eretz Israel. Most did go into Eretz Israel. It was one-tenth did not, 9/10 did. So it was not that Chatzi Shevet Menashe did not come in. A teeny, teeny bit of Shevet Menashe did not come into Eretz Israel and stayed with Reuven and Gad. And the Nachla they got, since they were not a full Shevet, in Eretz Israel they got 10 out of 11 portions, 10/11 of the Nachla they should have gotten in Eretz Israel. Had they been a full Shevet in Israel, they got 10/11. And the rest, they got whatever Shevet Menashe got outside of Eretz Israel. Okay, I think that's... just leave that there for Matos. Parshas Maaseh starts off with the counting of the 42 Masos. So, why do we count the 42 Masos? So, Rashi brings, to mention the chesed of Hashem, that we only had 42 masos, and most of the time we weren't moving, so it wasn't so bad. And also to mention that, like someone recounting the story with their son, remember we were here, remember we were there, here you got sick, and here, I helped you. Also, chasdei Hashem, okay, and the Ramban brings that the Rambam says the purpose of mentioning it is to say, you see, they were there for 40 years in all these crazy places that if you look there, you see there's no food and water. And yet they survived. So remember the chasadim of Hashem. This way people would know specific places you could see. Since you know specific places, leaving like that for 40 years is only possible with nisim of a mon falling from Shemayim and a bear of water. Now, if you just look in the segment, it's kind of interesting which of the 42 masos, what anecdotes get thrown in. It's mostly they went here to there, went here to there. And occasionally it throws in, and this is what happened there. One of those examples is, Vayachanu b'Refidim lo hayasham mayim la'am l'shtos. They stopped in Refidim, and there they didn't have water. So Ramban says, why did you pick that one? In Mara, it didn't say the nes of mayim. In Midbar Sin, it didn't mention the man. There's lots of stories it could have mentioned. Why b'Refidim does it mention, and there they didn't have water? And then no, it's talking about what happened in all these other places. So the Ramban says because that what happened in Refidim was a big deal, a really big deal. That's where they tested Hashem. The place was called Masa Riva. There was, the Mayim came out of the Sela. That's where Mechamas HaMalek happened. So to mention all these stories at once, is just to say that there was no water and that led to all those other stories, Amalek coming and the whole with the tree in the water. Sorry, the hitting the stone rather. The water came out of that. All that's hinted to by just saying that one line about the water, and then you'll remember the rest. And then we have something interesting that there are two masos mentioned here that aren't mentioned elsewhere. It's in Pasuk Mem Aleph. It says, in the beginning of Bamidbar, this Talmona and Punon do not get mentioned. So all of a sudden they show up here. What happened? So the Ramban says, this is the story with the Nachash, right? And Moshe made that copper Nachash and they held it up on a pole. So the Ramban says, they walked around with that pole. It wasn't a 2-second deal. They walked around that for a while. They went from different encampments. It was still an issue. They had to look up at that pole. So it only stopped once they got to Ovos. So since it was one long thing, it didn't mention them beforehand. But it was really a while, apparently. They went from different cities where this issue with the snakes had been an issue, and they needed to look up at the copper snake to get healed. Okay, then we have a very pretty famous Ramban in Pasuk Nun Gimel, V'harashtem es ha'aretz v'shavtem ba. The Ramban says, this is the source of the mitzvah of Kibush, Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, v'layimasu b'nachlas Hashem, it's a mitzvah d'araisa, to conquer Eretz Yisrael and to live there. That's why we have all these halachas about you're not allowed to leave there, and someone's a merendus if they don't want to, a woman's a merendus, she doesn't want to go up with her husband to Eretz Yisrael, and the same, but the husband has to, the wife can force him to go up to Eretz Yisrael. It's all because it's a din d'araisa, mitzvah d'araisa to live in Eretz Yisrael. Now, if you don't conquer Eretz Yisrael, meaning if you don't kick out all the Nachrim, then it says, "Vimlosa rishus yeshvi aretz mipnechem v'ya asher tesirhem." The leftovers will be l'sikim be'enechem l'tzninim b'tzidechem. There'll be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides. So he says, the Ramban says, based on Chazal, that when it says, first it says pricks in your eyes and then thorns in your side. First there'll be a prick in your eyes, meaning they'll confuse your sight. Meaning your mental sight, and they'll confuse you, and you'll end up the thing seducing you to doing their avodah zara. They'll be machti you to me, and then once you sin, then they become the tzinim mitzidechem. Then they become a thorn in the side. Then they try to cause you tzar and to conquer you and to take from you, and then tzaru aschem. Then they cause war with you. They'll put you under siege. And I'll send you into Golos. So that's the continuation of the pasuk. It's first they're sikim beinechem, which is they cause you to sin. Then it's ninim b'tzidechem, then they become a thorn in the side and they're constantly bothering you. Then b'tzaru eschem, which is I guess a little bit worse. They start war and put you under siege, and then you get Golos. V'akasher debis nasas lahem es elohem. Now, what does it mean, what I was going to do to them? I was going to kick out every one of them from Israel. Instead, I'll kick out every one of you. And I'm just personally commenting that while the Ramban and the Pesukim are talking about Eretz Yisrael, that has been pretty much what happened in Jewish history. First, they end up learning from the Gaim, and all of a sudden, the Gaim, they become the thorn in their side, and they want to kick them out, right? The Gaim always invite us in. And then, like the Asher Chachma says, and people start going off. And then, all of a sudden, they become, you know, more of a pain in the side, till they become even bigger, the pain in the side, and kick out every one of us. Okay. Alright, then just more of a technical thing about the cities of the Levim. So the Levim get their 42 cities, which is right interesting, in case you didn't notice. There were the 42 Masos at the beginning of the Parsha, and 42 lands, cities that the Levim get. There are 42 letters in the Shem of Hashem. 42 is an important number here. You can make up your own your own drushes. But anyway, the 42 cities that the Levim get, it's the Machlokas Rashi and the Ramban, exactly what they looked like in terms of what they got. So it says that they got 1,000 amos of Migrash and 1,000 amos of places to have to plant and sados and krumim or whatever. So the Rashi understands that they had on every side, 1,000 plus 1,000. So 1,000 feet, 1,000 amos rather, for Migrash and 1,000 amos for Sados. And the Ramban says, no, it means across the whole way. So it's 500 per side. And that's all the Migrash. So you have on each side of the city, directly opposite the city. Let's say the city is a square, so directly opposite the city, you have 500 on each side for a total of 1,000. Then the extra stuff, is on the corners, you know, on the four corners that was added onto them for the cattle and the whatever. So just to explain it maybe better, the way that you work out we know we got to 2,000, but it's 2,000 how? So again, like Rashi, it's 2,000 on each side. I got my city, then I got 1,000 amma, you know, of Migrash, and 1,000 amma of for the Sados and Krumim. Like the Ramban, they get a whole lot less. They have, it's a total, 2,000 from one end to the other. So I got, the city itself is 1,000. Then you got, 500, more Migrash on each side. The corners are the part for the Sados HaKrumim, and that's it. So if I measure the whole thing, the entire side, like the Ramban says, Peah is a side. So measure the whole side from one end to the other is 2,000. And when I'm measuring across, if I'm just looking at the bottom line, I'd be finding 500 at the Mamish bottom, which is the corners, the place for Sados HaKrumim, then 1,000 for Megrush, and then 500 again for Sados HaKrumim. So I got a total of 2,000 on that side, of the Migrash and the Sados HaKrumim. And then just, you know, redo that on all four sides and the cities in between. It's easier if you have a picture, but, it's how he understood. The 2,000 is the peah, means the entire side, measuring from one end to the other is 2,000. That's how the Ramban understands it. Whereas Rashi understands, start from the end of the city and go out 2,000 amos. That's your 1,000 for Migrash and 1,000 for Sadas of Krohn. Okay, then we have the 6 Ari Mikla, and 3 were in the east of the Yarden, and 3 were in Eretz Yisrael itself. Why the doesn't seem proportional? So Rashi says, because in the Gila there is Nefishe Rotschim. There are a lot of Rotschim. So the Rabban says, what everybody thinks when they first hear this, this is for a Shogeg. What do you mean Nefishe Rotschim? You only go there if you're killed by accident. So, okay, I think we could all figure out what we would answer to that, but the Ramban says that something different than probably you were thinking, that people were fakers. They pretended they were Shogeg, but they were really Mazins. So that was the problem. So they had to have a lot of more Ari Miklat on the east side. The Ramban says the only problem with all this is that there were 42 Ari Levim, which were also used as Ari Miklat. So he says if you do the Cheshbon like that, then it's completely proportional. If you make the Cheshbon, the Ari Levim, there were, of the 42, there were 36 in the main Eretz Israel, and the other 6 were in the Avra Yard, in the eastern side, plus the 3 that were there for Ari Miklat only. So that's a total of 9. 9 out of 48. So if you consider that every Shevet had to give, of 12, had to give 4 cities away, so that comes out. Remember, Menashe is mostly in Israel. So it's just Reuven and Gad. That's 8. So basically it's proportional. That's what comes out. That's what the Ramban points out. Okay, now we know as far as the women getting married, there was this mitzvah, or then for the ladies, at the time when they went into Eretz Yisrael, they were only allowed to marry people from their own shevet, so that the nachla that they were going to get originally should be in the right shevet, and they shouldn't be a Yerusha to the wrong shevet, because the woman is, you know, when she gets married, if she married someone from another shevet, so her portion would go to the husband, and then the nachla that was supposed to go to that shevet is going to go to the husband from the other shevet. So they can't do that. So every woman was supposed to marry someone from her shevet, only for that generation, didn't go past that. But the Ramban also adds that if someone, let's say this halacha comes out, you're already married. Now what? So it still would go to you. You don't have to get divorced. But the nachla would still go to the wife's shevet anyway. So all the benos slavchads of the world, they should marry only someone from their shevet. Even if they had already been married to someone, it'll go to the nachla, will go to their shevet. Or if someone breaks the law and marries someone not from their shevet, it doesn't matter. It's going to go to their shevet. Again, this is only for that first generation that goes into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we'll stop here.